Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Three words dominate the world service today, Nate. Super Frankie Lampard. Well, actually, Ken spent a lot of time also talking about Big Patrick Vieira. So those three words, Big Patrick Vieira also.
Listen, there were a lot of words in today's football show, but Super Frankie Lampard certainly did feature at some stage.
There were a lot of emotions swirling around Goodison Park yesterday. Ken, as you can imagine, was in his element on the podcast. And we had two eyewitnesses to the scenes at Goodison Park, including journalist, author and Evertonian James Corbett, who pinpoints Lampard's greatest human quality.
You know, the verdict's still out on him as a coach, but what strikes me about him, and it struck me about him when I used to report on him when he was a player, is that he's a pretty emotionally intelligent guy. And, you know,
emotionally intelligent, Frank Lampard.
Yeah. Yeah, I genuinely think that.
Why do you think he knows
to say the right thing at the right time.
I think you would put that one down, chalk that up as an incredulous reaction from Ken there. What? From Lampard? What?
That's about as rude as he gets with guests on the show.
He's always rude with us. He's never rude.
I mean, of course, obviously. I mean, that's basically his reason for getting up in the morning on this tweet. Rude and shout at us at various stages of the day.
Oh, it was great stuff from James Corbett and Kieran Canning today, and loads from Ken on Everton pulling off survival with a game to spare. Not exactly a great achievement in Ken's words, but, you know, I think we came to the conclusion that you're much better off flirting with relegation and then spectacularly pulling away from it than just floating around in 14th or 15th.
Would you rather be relentlessly excellent Graham Potter or Frank Lampard this morning was the question that Ken posed.
I think we know the answer. We also talked this week about the Rangers fans in Seville.
You have to turn up there and behave yourselves.
Boys, okay, that's our point.
Please, 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 let's all behave ourselves, thanks.
And no, it's the fucking blame for the jersey, means.
Remember the motto of the club, always have respect for where you're going.
I mean, I'm fucking raging.
Just remember, guys, please behave.
I mean, Scotland are a disgrace to James Ward's.
And Ken reached deep into the part of his brain that deals with analogies to explain what makes a certain Arsenal footballer tick.
There's a dog who lives near me who is he's like a Labrador golden retriever type. He's very big, right? He's a huge dog. I mean, for his type. And he's one of these dogs, I don't know if you've ever seen or come across one, but he's very friendly, very enthusiastic, and very energetic and likes to run around really fast. But he's very bad at stopping, turning, changing direction, or any of those other sorts of things that you'd like to also see in a complementary way to a dog that's very big and likes to run around very fast. You see what I mean? Mm. Granit Xhaka is a bit like that. But what I didn't realize until last night was that his defining quality is his immense loyalty to his master. The loyalty of Xhaka would bring a tear to your eye, because just as Mikel Arteta was at his lowest point in his managerial career, unable to justify the situation, who steps forward but his loyal hound, Granit Xhaka, and just delivers. I mean, what I'm saying is that, like, if you saw the reaction of Gary Neville in particular to this speech that Xhaka delivered, it was like stunned disbelief. Like, at first he was like, I don't know what to say about that. But it was basically what Xhaka had done was he'd more or less given the Frank Lampard speech from a few weeks ago, right, including with an obligatory reference, yeah, do you have the balls for it, and basically, and he just absolutely torched the players and had included phrases like that Frank Lampard would include, like, you know, not following the game plan, not doing what the coach told us to do. And so he had basically absolved Arteta of responsibility. You know, the implication of everything he said was, if only we'd done what we were told by our great coach Mikel Arteta, then maybe we'd have had a chance out there. But we can't even do that as a team. And you're like, oh, Granit, this is great, but like too much. you need to turn it down a little bit. Like never go full Lampard.
You know what I mean? That's the lesson learned here.
If you're Arteta, you're thinking, oh God, like, I mean, you would have tears in your eyes and you'd be thinking, this is great. You are like that dog who you're bounding over to, like, lick my face, but actually you've come through me so fast that I think I now have a ruptured spleen.
that was a long analogy there.
But he got there. Yeah, he got there. There were times, as there often is, when I wasn't sure that we were going to get there, but we did get there.
After an emailer demanded we start giving the rampant Derry Gaelic footballers some more coverage, Paul Flynn came up with one of his excellent anecdotes that he pops in from time to time from his own playing career.
Tell us a story about when I nearly gave up football mid-career because of the time I played Derry in the league back in around 2013, I'm going to say. And my wife's sister got married to one of my mates, and every one of my friends was at a wedding down Tipperary, and I was at it, and I didn't drink, and it was sun splitting the stones down Tipperary on a harbour, and I had to come back up down the next day to play Derry in the league, and it was pissing rain, and it was 8-6 for the whole game. It was possibly the worst game of football, like, in the history of games.
I actually remember it. It was the most shameful, shocking scene I've ever watched in Croke Park, I think.
And I remember the first time and last time, thankfully, in my whole career, that I stood under the stadium and I was looking around and I was saying, what the fuck am I doing here? And that's exactly what I
mean. He's a good storyteller, is Paul Flynn, I must say.
The game in question, as I say in the clip there, I did actually remember it.
I think I remember it too. Yeah. There are a lot of bad games of football. Why was that one always earmarked? I mean, I know it's in Paul Flynn's head because he had to go to a wedding and behave himself and then playing this off a match, but why is it etched in your brain?
Well, just it was so bad. You know, there are a lot of games, but I mean, it's kind of like you always kind of say, well, just a bad game's a bad game, you know, but there are actually degrees of badness. You know, it's not right to say that all bad games are like. Some games are just real stinkers, and this one was beyond it. Like, so it was like a league game being played in Croke Park, in a half-empty Croke Park, where Derry just had no interest in playing whatsoever. You know, oftentimes when teams retreat behind the 45, there is, like, you know, the full forwards can't resist pushing a small bit beyond the 45. Whereas with Derry that day, there was none of that. It was just absolutely. It was a siege, you know, a full-on siege. And I could absolutely sympathise with Paul Flynn's feelings, because there are many in the stadium and many watching on the now-defunct Air Sport that felt pretty similar as the game unfolded.
Flynn and McConville on throughout the championship on the World Service. Everton fans, today's the day. Come on, sign up for crying out loud. SecondCaptains.com, €5 a month. You can literally just sign up, listen to today's show a couple of times, and then just cancel your subscription at the end of the month. I mean, that's not great. Again, I don't know if I should really be revealing that, but that is an option. That's one thing you can do. There's no minimum contract bar, just the 1 month. So, you know, a fiver to listen to more Everton hashtag content. I mean, what more would you, what else would you do with that €5? Let's be fair. There you go. That's the hard sell. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen.
Did I say where to sign up? I'm sure I did. SecondCaptains.com.
So it turns out that Lampard actually does, he genuinely does feel that sorry for himself. To send him out into the Premier League, expecting him to get results with this squad, with this group of players. Like, the fact is, he looks at that squad and in his head, all you can hear is this is his exquisite self-pity. Timo Werner, like Timo Werner. Imagine.
That's one for the players. Players have to take the responsibility because the message was clear.
Did he bring the players in? Did he bring the Germans in?
And then Jody Morris is like, boss, you know, what are we going to do? And he's like, he breaks out of this reverie. But like, can you believe that they're doing to Lampard?
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.